Cairo, Seattle.
This is COVID-19 Seattle. I'm Dave Ross.
And I'm Aaron Granillo.
The White House Coronavirus Task Force paints a grim picture.
100,000 to 200,000 deaths, which is still way too much.
How one local study influenced the president to extend his social distancing guidelines.
It's the end of the month and bills are due tomorrow, but as the virus rips away jobs and incomes, renters and homeowners wonder how they'll pay.
Also, a Grammy Award-winning singer surprises local healthcare workers.
Hey, what up to the UW Medical Center? This is Lizzo.
What Lizzo brought them for lunch.
Stay with us. The White House Coronavirus Task Force says Americans should be prepared for more than 100,000 coronavirus deaths. Dr. Anthony Fauci says the cases will go up in the coming weeks. It's inevitable.
In the next several days to a week or so, we're going to continue to see things go up. We cannot be discouraged by that because the mitigation is actually working and will work.
So it's pretty clear that the White House policy is that the isolation is going to continue for the foreseeable future. And just so you understand, when you look at these charts, you'll see sort of a shaded area that represents the best and worst case scenarios in terms of the strain on hospital resources. There's a wide range of best and worst case scenarios in that
right thing.
What I notice is that under whatever scenario you choose, New York is in trouble.
What is the prediction in New York right now? Do you know?
They are expecting a need for 73,620 beds. They only have 13,000. They expect a shortage of 60,000 beds in New York,
wow.
A shortage of 10,602 ICU beds.
Wow.
And in terms of deaths per day, they are expecting by April 10th to reach 827 deaths per day before it starts going down.
Wow.
If the gauge is when you get below 10 per day, that would not happen until May 4th. So that's why you see particular intensity in the briefings given by Governor Cuomo and by Governor Murphy in New Jersey, which is in a similar situation.
I mean, somewhere like here, it sounds like, at least from the projections from the Department of Health, is that we won't run out of beds. Is that that's what they're hoping right now.
In any scenario, this area will have sufficient hospital beds to get through it. Now, our peak is not going to be until April 15th, according to this. So that's a classic example of flattening out the curve, you know, delaying the time of maximum stress on the system. But then the other thing I noticed is that Dr. Fauci wanted to say, we're not on the downside of the curve. Mm-hmm. But even when we get to the downside of the curve, you've got to keep that discipline and stay home or it could explode again. The Seattle City Council thinks all rent and mortgage payments should be delayed during the pandemic.
Councilmember Tammy Morales proposed this resolution, which passed with unanimous support.
This is really calling on the governor to use his emergency power to freeze rents. And calling on our federal legislators, our congressional delegation, to freeze mortgage payments during this public health crisis.
Let's talk about this resolution now with Greg Colburn. He's a professor of real estate at the University of Washington, and he's also involved with UW's Homeless Research Initiative. Thanks for joining us, Greg.
My pleasure.
We know this resolution is non-binding. It holds no legislative authority, but if it is successful in pressuring the governor and pressuring Congress, what are the most drastic measures they could take in order to help renters and to help mortgage owners? Is it essentially saying, you know, you don't have to pay any rents, you don't have to pay any mortgages, and you also don't have to incur debts?
Yeah, from the perspective of the homeowner with a mortgage or the renter who has rent due, that would certainly be the most drastic and provide the greatest benefits for those individual households. You know, the problem with that is we can say, yeah, you don't have to pay your bills. But then the landlord who has bills to pay says, well, what are you talking about? I need to pay my mortgage that I have on this building. So then do we go up the food chain and wave the magic wand for them as well? Which is why this is a very, very complicated situation. And we see this at all levels of the real estate industry. So last week, Cheesecake Factory came out and said, we can't pay our rent on April 1st. Right. And so their landlord said, no. You have to pay because we have our own obligations to make, right? Which is, it's this cascading effect that makes this incredibly complicated. Now, from an equity standpoint, you can certainly have an intellectual debate about who is in a better position to take the pain, a tenant, a landlord, a bank, et cetera. And there are legitimate debates about that. But even if we argue that the banks are in a better place to take that pain, at some point the banks are going to say, no, we're not a charitable enterprise here. We make loans we expect to be paid back, and we need to be paid back.
Is our economy strong enough to withstand something like this, or is it just essentially coming down to the federal government at the end of the day just issuing a bunch of money and then saying, to hell with the debt, let's just let it skyrocket, and we'll take it from here?
Well, there's two entities. There's the Federal Reserve, which is really overseeing the banking system, which is trying to make sure that those mechanisms are working properly. And then there's the U.S. Treasury, which is what the $2 trillion of the corona stimulus bill from last week was. And so those are really the two entities that are stepping up and saying, we're going to put the full resources of the federal government behind this to make sure that this doesn't cascade into a depression. We're going to have a recession. We don't want it to be a depression. And so I think you're right that ultimately it's going to be those two entities that we will all be looking at to say we need to have continued support. And what local governments are doing, state and local, are saying, in the interim, let's make sure that people aren't getting evicted, right? And that's something that state and local governments can do, and they have done. The problem is, if this continues into May, June, July, August, at some point, if people haven't been paid in 6 months, landlords are going to start to say, we have to be able to evict, right? And so that's where federal support, financial support to households, is really important, such that people can get current on their payments, or at least work out a payment plan with their landlords, with their banks, et cetera, because this system does not work in perpetuity if people just stop paying.
I mean, do you see widespread evictions happening, or
I certainly hope not. I think what will happen before we get there is what you'll have is both tenant organizations, real estate organizations lobbying the federal government saying, hey, no one wants to do this. I think there would be tremendous pressure on the federal government to step in and provide additional stimulus to households to ensure that people can make their payments. We all know, especially in a place like Seattle, $1,200 doesn't go very far, right? And so that check's going to come in. People will be on unemployment. It was kind of a bumped unemployment insurance through the federal program. And so that's all well and good. Congress people and senators are talking about, you know, the subsequent bills already of what they're going to be. And you definitely see people saying, we need to figure out this housing situation in the next couple of bills, because what happened here was not sufficient. And we see, like, you know, there was an article in the New York Times, I think it was today, saying 40% of people are not going to be able to make their rental payments on April 1st. And so it's going to get the attention of the authorities, because mass evictions is certainly not, it's not good for anyone. It would be a catastrophe.
We thought it would be a good idea to share some good stories with you once in a while. That's why Miley Cady is here.
So I know that we can all use good news always, and especially now during the pandemic, and stories of people doing good things for their neighbors. And I would love to start by sharing a message that has brought me comfort over the years from one of the all-time greatest neighbors, Mr. Rogers.
My mother used to say, whenever there would be any really catastrophe that was in the movies or on the air, she would say, always look for the helpers. There will always be helpers.
There have been quite a few helpers stepping up, haven't there?
There certainly have. And one of them is the Grammy-winning pop star Lizzo. So she surprised a lot of University of Washington healthcare workers yesterday when she bought them all lunch, and she talked about it on her Instagram.
Shout out to all of y'all for being so brave and working so hard and making sure that we're safe and healthy and healing people. That is incredible. You guys are heroes. And so the least I could do was just send you some lunch.
And UW was just one of several hospitals across the country that she provided food to show her appreciation for all their hard work. And her publicist says that she chose facilities in areas that are most overwhelmed with high case numbers in the virus. And as far as her connection to the area, her hit song Truth Hurts was actually produced by a Seattle native named Tella, a.k.a. Stevie Chung.
Okay, so I'm wondering why she was getting involved in this area, but that's great. And then apparently even the pets are getting into the act?
Yes, a dog in Colorado has been helping out neighbors by delivering groceries to an elderly woman on quarantine. So the dog's owner has this golden retriever, highly trained. She is helping one of her especially vulnerable elderly neighbors by sending her dog over to retrieve a grocery list in his mouth, bring it back to her, then she takes the list to the grocery store, and then she buys the groceries and she sends the dog with a bag of groceries, possibly small amounts at a time, in his mouth to carry back over to the elderly neighbor.
Okay, that's a little strange. She trained the dog to retrieve a grocery list and to bring groceries next door one at a time without the dog, him or herself, eating them?
Well, that's a really good point, actually. I don't know. Maybe, if it's canned food, maybe it would be less appealing. Yeah. I don't know that she'd be getting ribs over to the neighbor very safely.
Okay. I guess that's a form of fetch. Well, those are solidly positive stories, Miley. The only question is, we're going to be here for another month at least. Can you keep this up?
I think I can.
Miley Katie. Thank you, Miley.
Thanks, Dave.
All right.
That was fun. I was really excited to be on the air with you for the first time. I think you're such a legend.
Well, that's one way to put it. We will be back tomorrow and every day after with a 10-minute rundown of the daily local news. You can subscribe to this podcast. You can also find our news coverage on MyNorthwest.com or listen live at 97.3 FM.